It's lovely just to have that time of silence, right? Just for those that didn't hear, just for those that didn't hear the first time, or the second time, or the third time. It's just lovely to have the time of silence sometimes in the middle of the worship, isn't it? Where we just sit in the presence of God. And as we were singing, to draw near to him, because he wants to draw near. That's a book out, first out of the book of James, you know. If you draw near to me, he will draw near to you. Yeah, and that's lovely. That's one of the first verses I remembered when I became a Christian. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. And somebody once said to me, if he doesn't draw close to you, guess who's moved? All right, we're going to read from the a few short verses from the book of Isaiah, if you want to turn to it, Isaiah 55. Well-known portion of scripture, this. The whole chapter is brilliant, but we're just going to read a few verses this morning. Starting at verse 8. And we're just reading two or three verses here. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the prophet Isaiah, bringing God's word to him. And God said to him, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Lovely. And we are living testimonies of that scripture this morning. God sent his word. It's accomplished what it needed to in our lives. And we're here this morning knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. In effect, knowing God. And so this is a testimony of the God's goodness, friend, at work, even today. Last week, wasn't it lovely to see Anne last week, Anne Grattage? She'd not been to church for over a year and a half. And when I went to get her, she was ready and waiting. As I pulled up in the car, she shut the front door, and I went round to open the door to let her in. And she stood on the doorstep, and she went, I'm so excited, I'm going to church. And she just gave a little dance on the doorstep. And she says, oh, I can't wait. And it was lovely to see her just here worshipping God. And but we're going to get her again. We're going to bring her back again as often as we can anyway. And so she was excited about coming to church. And I hope you are this morning, friends. And you can see there's lots of people away this morning, and they're away for a reason. And yet we've got people that are sick this morning that need prayer, and we're going to pray for them at the end. We've got people on holiday, and for various other reasons. We've got people isolating, unfortunately. But we are here, and we are gathered as church, and we've come just to lift up the name of Jesus. I hope that's what you've come for, is it? Lift up the name of Jesus. That's who we've been singing about. You know, I love worship, and I hate to think that people are just singing songs. I hate to think that, friends. We're singing to God Almighty. We're singing to the Savior of our souls. We're singing to Jesus and all he's done for us. These aren't just nice words. Sing them personally to him. Lift him up and exalt him because he's worthy, as friends. It does us good through praise and worship. The Word of God says we've got to honor him. He's worthy of all glory, all honor, all power. And that's why we're here this morning, just to bring it to Jesus. We're here to be encouraged in our faith. I tell you, I need encouragement in my faith. Daily. I need it, friends. I need encouraging all the time in my faith. But we encourage to one another, friends, to remind us of the goodness and the faithfulness and the love of God. That this steadfast love never ceases and his mercy is on you every morning. I need to remind of this every day, God. That's why God's put that in there. My mercy is on you every morning. Are we claiming them? Are we living in them? We need that encouragement, because in the world that we live in, and we heard this last week, I know, there's not much encouragement out there. In fact, when you look at the things that are happening in the world, it should make us want to draw nearer and nearer and nearer to Jesus and to tell other people about him. Because there's nothing out there, friends, that's going to encourage him. There's not much good news. In fact, when we see the things that have gone off this week in the news, it's been really heartbreaking about that MP, Sir John Amos, that was murdered in his constituency, in a church, in a Methodist church. How sad is that, friends? We need encouragement. I need encouragement every day. So we gather here this morning, believing to hear and to receive something from God that lifts us up. And I say that, friends, so to hear. And sometimes we Rachel will say, "You're not listening." I'll say, "I am." She say, "You might be listening, but you're not hearing what I'm saying." And it's true. Sometimes we hear, but we don't listen. We don't take it in. And hearing is so important. If you look at chapter 55, in verse 2, God says, "Listen, listen to me." In verse 3, he says, give ear to me, come to me, hear me, that your soul may live." And we've got to hear what God is saying to us, friends. We've got to listen permanently. In Jesus writing to the seven churches in Revelation, in every one of them, friends, he sends a message to the seven churches and comfort, exaltation to them, but also he finds, tells them where they're going wrong. But in every one of those seven letters, he says this: "He who has an ear, let him hear." In other words, he's saying, plug back your lug horns and listen to me. Can you hear what I'm saying this morning? Listen to God. Hear him. Were you listening to the messages over the last few weeks? We've had some brilliant ministry over the last few weeks, and I'm going to mention that again later on. We've come to hear God. We've come to receive it, God. We don't just hear it. We receive it into our spirits, into our hearts, into our lives, that we can become like Jesus, that we can live out the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit just this morning just to speak into your lives, to do the transforming work that only he can do, and to draw us nearer, like we've been singing this morning, "Draw me near to you," so that he can draw us nearer and make us more like Jesus, because that is what it is all about, becoming more and more like Jesus. I like the truth of what John Farley said the other week. He said this: "I'm a better person now since my salvation than I once was." And I think every one of us should be able to say that. I'm better now since my salvation than I was pre-salvation. I'm a better person. I didn't like Ian Edmondson. When I became a Christian, I didn't like the old Ian Edmondson. And in fact, it says the old's gone and the new has come. I like the new Ian Edmondson. I like what God's doing in my life. The Apostle Paul said, "If anyone in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." And I'm hoping and praying that that's true for your life as it is for mine, and that you're praying for your friends, your families also, that they'll find this new creation in Christ Jesus, that they can cast aside your life. And when we look at the things going off in the world today, we want to see people, friends, coming into this new life in Christ Jesus. So Paul says we're new creations. He says we're born again of God's Spirit. We get a new life. We get a new start. We should be different people. We should be better people once we become Christians. And this is what John Farley was virtually saying the other week. And this should go for every one of us, because we're all works in progress. God is at work. If you're listening to God this morning and hearing him, he's at work in your life. We are all works in progress. And we should be wanting and believing for him to be at work with us. And I say that. That wanting, friends, do you want God to be at work in your life this morning? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to become more like him? We're not just here, as I said earlier on, just to listen and hear and go home afterwards and not be affected. I want Christ, friends. The Apostle Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him." He says, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me." And that's who we are this morning, friends. people who want to know something more and something better of God, to have the eyes of our hearts open and let him just speak and flood into our lives. So I want to know God. I want to be different. I want to be that better person for Christ. And this should go for all of us, that we can say with confidence of it like this, that he who began a good work in me, in you, will carry it on till the day of completion in Christ Jesus. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to do the work in you. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I want for me and for you and for everybody else, friend, to have the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God at work in our lives. I want to settle us down before, remember the judgment seat of believers, the bema seat, we don't hear much of it now. I want to be able to stand before the bema seat, the judgment seat of believers, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hear the words, well done, good and faithful service, enter in to my presence. We want to hear that. We want it, friends. And we do it by drawing nearer to God and let him be at work in our lives. That word transformed, it's an ongoing word, an ongoing thing that happens in our life. It means a continual process of change from the inside out, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be developed: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, being at work in your life and knowing, yes, these things. I can feel the love of God in me. I can feel the peace of God in me. I can feel the joy welling up in me because I know Jesus. We've been transformed. Paul says, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And that's true, friends. And when you look at our bodies, you might not think of you only your 30s or 40s, but by the time you get to your 50s and your 60s and your 70s, you look at your bodies in the mirror in the morning and you can say, we are wasting away. I was telling the daytimers before our lockdown, I was having a shave one morning and I looked and I thought, oh no, I'm getting bingo wings. You know, and sometimes it isn't such a wasting away, it's an adding to. On the outside, but on the inside, I'm being renewed and I'm being restored. My spirit feels like I'm 25. In fact, sometimes younger. Until I try and do something, my body says you can't do that anymore. Ken and myself were helping Dave on the scaffold put these up the other day. And I'm not the lad I used to be, climbing up and down scaffold. In fact, I spent most of my time stood on the floor. Because you see, this outward body is wasting away, but inly we're being renewed day by the Spirit of God. And it does us good. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. That is amazing. Do you realize that? God has set eternity in your heart, in everyone's heart. It's there, friends. They just don't know yet. He gives us an awareness that there's something beyond this life that's been divinely planted, that our souls live forever. That when this body is finished, friends, the soul lives on. We go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, into his presence. We always, when they send an SOS out on a boat, they never say, save my body. They always say, save my soul. That's what the SO is. And our SOS to God this morning is, God, save our souls. Save the souls of our mums and dads and our brothers and sisters and our neighbours. Come and save our souls, God, because you've set eternity in them. So as new creations, we've been given a new birth, a new life in Christ. We've entered into a new kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God, because God is a God of the new. Read the Bible. And over the past few weeks, as I said earlier, we've had some really, really good ministry. And really, it's been speaking to me as an individual, but this ministry, I don't know if you realize it, it was speaking into the life of the fellowship. I don't know how much you remember of what was said 6-7 weeks ago. I take notes, but I also watch the sermons again on YouTube that have been recorded. And I've listened to them again. And I've come to realize, friends, that God was speaking to the life of the fellowship. And perhaps we are, or I am, more aware of what was said now than what was said then when it was given. For instance, how many of us said amen when Pastor John Farwee spoke at the end of August? That was 6 weeks ago. Didn't seem that long, but it was 6 weeks ago since Pastor John stood up and he spoke on God is doing a new thing. He's making all things new. And I sat there and said, amen. That's right, God. And we like to think God is doing something new, and he is. He's doing something new all the time. But did we have it in mind that God might be doing something new in our fellowship? God was speaking to us, paving the way for us, showing us what his plans and purposes were for this place. So God started the process of something new now, friends, in the life of the Fellowship of People's Church here at Bestwood. John went on, and he says, listen, he explained something really good, and I'd never thought of before. He says, God is not making new things. He's doing something new, what is already here. He's doing it through you and I. He's doing something new, but we've got to enter in and virtually walk with him and make it happen. Allow it to happen in our fellowship, friends. One and another, encouraging one another, loving one another, caring for one another, seeking his will and seeking his ways. We've got to be the people who are going to allow God to do the new thing. And John then went on and he said, God is not making new things. Oh, yeah, I've said that he's already using what's in place. And we now at People's Church are in that process. And God doesn't change things just for the sake of changing. He doesn't think that'd be a nice idea. We'll just shift this round a bit. He has purpose and plans, friend. We read that in Jeremiah. I have purpose and plans for us individually, but also as a church, as a local church, as a church worldwide. And Philip, during lockdown, when he was speaking one day on the internet, he said, when we start to get back to regular meeting, we don't want to go back to what was, but to be in the flow of what God is doing and know and want more than what we had before. That's what Philip said. We just want to go back to what was. We want something better. And God is bringing it about, friend. He's bringing change. The thing is, though, that Philip didn't think that he would be part of the change in the way that it's worked out. But we want something better, God. And we want to walk with you, and we want to be in your flow of your spirit as you do these things that what's happening here in our fellowship this morning. And one of the things that John Farrell reminded us of as a church, and I believe also for Philip also, was this: our best days in God are always before us. Always. Always before us. We love to reminisce. We love to remember what was, how it used to be. And I'm on a website, I come from Gateshead up in County Durham, and I'm on a website that is called All About Gateshead. And the people are loving to reminisce about the good old days. The toilet down the yard. The good old days, yeah? The one fire in the house that you had to shovel coal onto. No radiators, frost on the inside of the windows. The good old days, yeah? The bathtub hanging up in the yard outside. Yes, let's bring the good old days back, eh? Let's get back into these good old days. This is what we call it. And we love to reminisce, friends, about what used to be. Who can remember the hymn sandwich when we used to come to church? Prayer, hymn, reading, hymn, testimony, hymn, notices, hymn. They were good. They were good then, but we've moved on. God's brought us into something better, friends, a deeper style of worship. And I still love the old hymns as well. And sometimes in daytime, as we have a hymn sandwich, we do it, still do it. But there's got to be a moving on and allowing the Spirit of God to touch us and to change us, friends, as we look forward to the better things. I'm looking forward in hope to the good new days that are to come. Thank God for the last days, but I'm looking forward to the good new days that are to come in Christ Jesus. We were reminded last week that we should be people full of hope. This is more ministry. And what a timely message that was just before the Philip's resignation was read out. What a timely message telling us we should be people of hope. That God is the God of hope. God's poured hope into our lives, friends. It's Him at work in our lives. And we've got to be full of hope as we move on with God. We'd be people full of hope then who thank God for what He's done, but believe there's more and there's better ahead. God wants to restore us, renew us. You know, we know God's promises. If I were to ask you this morning to claim some promises of God, you'd be able to shout them out. But I've just written a couple down here. We know God's promises. Those who hope in the Lord will, and the emphasis is on the will renew their strength. Some versions say those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And hope in God can only be better and strengthen us and lift us, friends. It goes on, they will soar on eagle's wings. Yeah, soaring, friends, over the situations and circumstances of life. They're still there, friends, but we can still have that hope and the joy of God in us, that He's at work as we come to Him, petition Him with prayer and believe in Him, friends, that He's going to help us to soar in Him, regardless of what's going on around about us. They will run and not grow weary. And it's again, have you noticed, they will renew their strength. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary. There's a verse in Galatians says, don't be weary in doing good. And at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. Yeah. Don't grow weary. And then it says, we shall walk and we shall not faint. And after Philip's resignation letter last week, I must admit, my heart fainted a little bit. Just a little bit. But now is not the time for fainting. Dave Lambert brought a message just the other week, and he spoke about standing firm. Standing firm in Christ, in God. Standing firm together, friends, and helping one another in this at the time that we're in. We've got to stand firm, stand strong, stand in hope, stand believing that God is in this. We even learned a lesson from the penguins, how the penguins look after each other by the rotation of coming from the center of the crowd to the outside. And we've got to look after one another, friends. We've got to support one another and encourage one another and just believe that God is truly in this. Remember, He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd who restores our soul, my soul. And we need to spend time in His presence. Spend time in His presence and God, restore me. Restore your church. Restore our nation, God. Do something in our nation that's going to shake it, God. We need to get back to the presence of God. It's been lovely the last few weeks in the prayer meeting in the lounge. And it's been, if we get a few more people, we're going to have to come out of the lounge and be in the minor hall. Because it was virtually full the last few weeks. And so it's lovely that we're seeing people coming to pray and to petition God. And now, friends, I'm reading our prayer should be, yes, God, we believe You in this. Restore us, re-strengthen us. Do what You want to do in our lives, God. Remember that restoration always makes things better, makes things new. Restoration is about taking broken people, broken relationships, broken nations, mindsets, hearts, and making them whole again. And God is in this business, friends, of restoration. It restores joy. Dave Townsend spoke the other week about Nehemiah, another timely word, about those who had returned back to Jerusalem from captivity in Babylon, and they turned back to God. They repented after hearing the word of God being read. Read over their lives, friend. Read the word of God over your life. Speak it out loud. Speak it when you have your private time at home. Speak the word out loud sometimes over yourself. And receive it, friends, because it does you good. Because when these people had the word of God read over them, and they repented, it says, then the joy of the Lord returned. And they said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's what we want, friends, in these times, to know that joy back into our lives as we just go forward with God. The renewed and the restored as God spoke into their lives. And I said, over the last few weeks, I believe God's been speaking into our lives when he started the work of restoration and rebuilding. And we need to allow him to do it. So here we are now this morning. And although we might not have expected the situation that we're in, not even wanted it, if we're truthfully. I'd have loved to have seen Philip standing here still with his guitar and ministry. I'd have loved it, friends. But God's moved us on and God's moved him on into better things. And so we're here this morning. And I'll tell you something. I don't believe this took God by surprise. When we read out that resignation, I don't think God sat in the heavenlies and said, whoops, Philip, what have you done that for? It isn't. You know, today we should have had somebody from Safer Homes coming to speak to us. It's a brilliant charity where they place children into families where perhaps they're in a difficult situation. Perhaps there's an illness in the family or a bad, broken relationship. And so they want to take the child out to that family, or the family, the parents themselves want the child to go somewhere while things are restored, while the person's better, or if they're waiting for going to foster care or something. They're just somewhere where they can go for a short period and be looked after and be loved. And they were supposed to be coming to speak to us this Sunday, today. And after the resignation letter of Philip last week, it just didn't sit good to me that we have somebody from outside the fellowship come and speak and not feel what we're going through.
Absolutely.
And so I rang Dave up and I just expressed how I felt. Not wrong Ken, not wrong Jeff. And I says, it's not fair on the person coming in neither, because our minds will be, you know, not giving them the full attention that we should. And so I didn't have a phone number for this guy, the person that was coming, but I had an email address. So I sent an email, and I just sent an email and said, regarding your visit this Sunday to People's Church, could you give me a ring? And the next morning, I got a telephone call, because I'd put my phone number on, obviously. And the guy on the other end from Safer Homes called Dale. He says, I've sent you an email. Did you get it? And I says, no, I haven't opened them yet. But I said, I just want to explain what's happened. And I told him. I says, our pastor has resigned. And I don't think it's fair for your man to come in and start talking, you know, just about the things he's going to talk about. We need to have some in-house ministry, something that's going to feel that the hurt and the surprise, you might say, that the thing that's happened. We weren't expecting it to be like this at this time. And he said to me, oh, well, I sent an email to you explaining something. He says, the lad that should have been coming to speak to you resigned in August. And he was supposed to write to you and let you know he couldn't come. He says, so nobody was coming today. And I thought, you know, this didn't take God by surprise. He knew that we needed this time together, friends, to share and to encourage and to bring it out in the open about Philip. It's out now. But we need to move on in him. And isn't it good to know that no matter how difficult the time, how disappointing the news, God is still on the throne and has everything under control. We are his church, and Jesus said he wants to build it, and he wants to build it his way. We are not always able to understand, like we read earlier on in the scriptures, but we know that he is sovereign and his way is best. Remember, Jesus said that when we pray to pray, we're to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe we're in the time of God's will here at People's Church at this time, friends. And I remind you what God I said through the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. But then he intensifies it a little bit. He makes it a bit deeper. to show us how far our thoughts fall short from his thoughts and his ways. And he says, for as the higher heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. We're nowhere near anywhere thinking what God is saying or doing, friends. We're miles apart sometimes. But sometimes God brings us into a situation where we've got to say, yes, God, we don't understand it. And we'd have loved to have gone on the other way. But if you're doing it, God, we want to be in it. And we want to be in it for your glory and for your good and to see your church extended. And so our thoughts and our ways aren't his. And we can't begin to comprehend how God works. But we sung it this morning. We trust him. We trust in you, God. We're standing firm as the body of Christ, full of hope for what lies ahead, believing that this new time ahead for peoples will be a time of repurposing, restructuring, restoring, and renewing. Amen. And over the next few weeks, we haven't had a chance to meet yet, the fellowship, but over the next few weeks, you know, we'll be praying about it and discussing how we go, where we go, how we go, what we do, what we don't do. We'll perhaps be getting around people and find out what ministries have you got to release into the fellowship at this time. What can you do? And don't say, I can't do anything. Everybody can do something, friends. Even if it's encouraging, a phone call or a blessing. We're all in this together this morning. This isn't from a platform ministry. This is the church working as the body of Christ. Yeah, as it should do. And so will you pray with us and help us in the weeks and the months ahead? We've got ministry lined up, different people coming in, a lot of in-house ministry happening. But if you feel you've got a word from God and you know it's a word from God, will you bring it? Will you read the scriptures? Will you come to the prayer meetings? Will you believe that God is in this and we're going to grow and we're going to be strong and we're going to be renewed in him? And we remember Philip near prayer. Amen.